Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We are going today to explore the concepts and emotions that form the backbone of what it means to be a believer. When will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come?
It is haq on us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It is incumbent upon us, Nasr al-Mu'mineen, that we will help the believers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a khair from a person, yusibhu, that he will give him a musibah.
These past few weeks have been extremely painful ones. We feel the injustice acutely, which is only multiplied by the attitude of the Western powers who seek to support their apartheid creation in the Middle East with great vigour. The media has failed us and failed their profession. In many of our workplaces, a hostile environment has been created where showing sympathy for Gaza is akin to a war crime. Young people are excluded from schools for wearing Palestinian flags. So-called Free Europe bans pro-Palestine demonstrations yet sermonizes about freedom. And of course, most importantly, thousands have been mercilessly butchered by a war machine hell-bent on annihilation. In this environment, it is easy to feel a sense of gloom. The world has come together against us. Some, particularly who are not tested like the Palestinians, may even have doubts about their Islam, impacting their basic iman. Some call for compromise with the perpetrators, or worse still, call for normalization. We are going today to explore the concepts and emotions that form the backbone of what it means to be a believer. Now, please remember to like this video and subscribe if you enjoy our content. It helps us to reach a larger audience. We've also recently launched a new Patreon for those of you who want to support on a monthly basis. As a patron, you get access to exclusive monthly Zoom calls and inshallah get a share in the reward as we grow. Jazakallah khair. My guest today is Dr. Kamal Abu Zahra. Kamal is a lecturer in Islamic studies and Islamic law here in London who has an expertise in contemporary fiqh. Dr. Kamal Abu Zahra, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to The Thinking Muslim.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, brother Jalal. Jazakallah khair. For having us, inshallah.
Well, look, it's wonderful to have you with us, Kamal. Kamal, what would you say to a person who says, when will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulil kareem. This is a question that is understandable. The frustration that people are feeling or frustration from which this question arises is understandable given what is going on, and it's something that even the prophets alayhim salam, that they themselves, when they came to a point where the hardship and the calamity and the difficulties went to such an extent that they themselves had to say, and they cried, Mata Nasrullah. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the massatumul ba'sa wa darra, when the hardship and the affliction hit the
prophets
and the messengers, they would say this very thing. When will the victory of Allah come? And so our shabab, our youth, our ummah, looking at the carnage that is taking place to our brothers in Palestine, are feeling, sometimes feeling helpless, and saying, oh Allah, we have seen this. You know, when is the victory coming? Some probably have seen this many times in their lives. Their parents have seen it. You know, they've seen it. And subhanAllah, you know, I have a grandson now, and now it's gone to that generation now. And so, you know, where is the end to this cycle? And so this question arises. But the answer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, and this is how the believer looks at these issues, because ultimately, this is not for us. It's an aqidah issue. It's a matter of faith. It's from a belief perspective that we understand these things. Mm. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will actually bring the victory. We have husnul dhan, we have goodwill and good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the very next part of the ayah, it says, Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Indeed, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. And you find this statement that the victory is near in a number of places, not just this in this ayah. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. And you love the victory and to win and to succeed in battle. وَمِنَ اللَّهِ نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Victory which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. And a victory which is qareeb. An opening and a conquest that is actually qareeb and that is near. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again making this point, He said, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, it is haqq on us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It is incumbent upon us, نَصْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that we will help the believers. So this is our belief, that the help is always near, it's always around the corner, it will be there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forsake us. And this feeling, even the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in felt. Just to give you one example, Khabbab ibn Arat radiyallahu anhu, he, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca, you know, he was a convert to Islam. He was a slave actually, working as a blacksmith for his master. And in that environment, which was so difficult, he embraced Islam. And he conveyed, and he didn't keep his iman secret. And for that, his master would torture him. And the very tool that he used in his work as a blacksmith, they would actually sear his body, this hot, burning embers, they would actually sear his body with. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he found, you know, the hadith says, shakawna ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa huwa mutawassidun burdatan fi dhilli al-Ka'bah. I found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I went to complain to him. Shakawna, you know, this is a shikwa, a complaint about my situation. And I found him with his burda in the shade of the Kaaba. And I said, Ya Rasulullah, ala tastansuru lana, ala tad'u lana. Are you not going to ask Allah for help? Are you not going to make dua for us? You can see in his voice that it's difficult what he's going through. And the way he's asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet, he sensed how he was feeling. So he said, look, قَدْ كَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. This is not new, O Khabbab. Before you, a person would be brought. وَيُحْفَرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And a hole would be dug in the ground. وَيُؤْتَى بِالْمَنْشَارِ. And a saw would be brought. And this would be placed on his head. وَيَجْعَلُ نِصْفَيْنِ. And he would be cut into two. Or they would get an iron comb and they would take the very flesh of his bones. But this person will never renounce his deen. He will stand true and firm on his deen. O Khabbab, wallahi la yutimmanna Allah hadha al-amr. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete his deen until hatta yasiru rakibs min Sana'a ila Hadramaut. Until a traveler will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut and la yakhafu illa Allah. He will have nothing to fear but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالذِّئْبَ عَلَى قَنَبِي. And maybe a sheep that would, a wolf that would take a sheep. But, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. He said to Khabbab, subhanAllah, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. He said, you to the Sahaba, that you have haste. You know, have sabr, patience, wait. The time will come when Allah will give you security. So what we see, sometimes we look at the environment and the situation from where we are, because we don't know the ghaib, we don't know the future. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the ghaib. He is the controller of the future. And we believe He will bring that victory. He will bring that security. He will bring that safety. So that is the approach by, you know, we have as believers. That's the imani, aqaidi approach that we should have to this question. And the answer that should always ring in our hearts, inshallah. And the Sahaba should motivate us. And the Prophet motivate us.
Dr. Kamal. Is it a weakness to think like this? Is it a weakness to be impatient about the victory or to ask the question, when would the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come?
See, we are human beings. Even the Anbiya and Rasul, Musa alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, اِذَهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَعَى. Oh Musa, go to Fir'aun, for he has indeed transgressed all bounds. Go to him and speak to him. Musa alayhi salam, you know, everyone has their deficiencies and impediments. He had a speech impediment. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, oh Allah, you know, wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, you know, remove the impediment from my tongue so they understand. And he said, you know, he didn't want to go alone. He said, you know, my brother Harun, wa ashriku fi amri, you know, Harun be a partner or go with me. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. So that we may praise your glory and you know, in that you are ever watchful over us. This is Musa alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, said to him that, you know, when he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his staff, what is in your hand? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Musa, what is in your hand? He said, here, asai, just a staff. And Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know, throw the staff, and the staff became a snake. He felt fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, قُذْهَا سَنُعِيدُهَا. He said, hold on to it, and we will return it back to its original state. He was fearful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not fear. When he went to, was asked to go, to Fir'aun, it says that he felt the fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not fear. Indeed, I am with you. So this is Musa alayhi salam. You know, and from that we learn, actually, courage does not come that it's in our genes and it's in built. Courage comes from actually our iman and how we express that in the situation that we find ourselves in. And that we see in the examples of the Sahaba, from the Anbiya and the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why, you know, Rasulullah said, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. Don't desire to seek to meet the enemy. But if you do, فاسبتوا. But at that point, stand firm. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we find ourselves in that situation, it is that iman that will activate and kick in, and we will find the strength to stand firm and have sabat.
Now, you've mentioned the help of Allah on a few occasions there. Can you explain what the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? I mean, does it come from human beings, or does it come from some form of divine intervention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Okay. Nasr, victory is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As is rizq, as is hayat, as is maut. So all of these things, actually, it is in the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As to when when it is granted or gifted to us. So this victory, it comes from Allah, and the Quran is very clear on this. He says, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. That victory is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, however, this victory has its asbab and its causes. In terms of what its conditions are. And the reality of this victory, it can be on the battlefield, on a physical battlefield, or it can be in the intellectual battlefield, or in the narrative battlefield, or in the propaganda battlefield. Any of the battlefields that if Islam prevails in that ma'raka, in that struggle, then that is a victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, that when the victory comes, when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, you will see multitudes of people entering the deen. That also is victory. So the first victory is actually of, was actually the conquest of Mecca, was the opening of Fathu Mecca. But the second victory are the people and the multitudes of people who entered and embraced the deen. The two different types of victories. The reality is different, but they're both nasr min Allah.
Right. So a debate between a Muslim and a non-Muslim on the issue of Islam, and the Muslim prevails, yes, yes, that will come under the banner of victory.
Yes. Yeah. We seek Allah's help. So, you know, just like Musa alayhi salam, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help when he went to Fir'aun. And that help, actually, it can come either through our own hands, but we have to realize it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it can be through the other ghaybiyya means, through the malaika. And we find evidence for this in the Quran and in the Sunnah, for both of these, actually. So in terms of our own hands, we're in the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the enemies were in front of him, he picked some dust and he threw it, and it got in their eyes and they couldn't come forward to attack. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in the Quran. He says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. O Prophet, you did not throw when you threw it, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. But it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who threw. So even though it was his very hands who picked up the dust, but actually who was working behind the scenes, who was helping him, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's an example of victory through, we are the instrument of victory, but of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah uses us as an instrument. Or it can be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us in many ways. So in Battle of Badr, it was the malaika. You know, if you look at it, the battle, Quran refers to it, actually. It says, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ آيَةٌ فِي فِئَتَيْنِ الْتَقَتَى. In it, there is a sign in the battle between the two forces that came to fight. There was a فِئَةٌ, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ آيَةٌ فِي فِئَتَيْنِ الْتَقَتَى. فِئَةٌ تُقَاتِلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأُخْرَى كَافِرَةٌ. يَرَوْنَهُمْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ. So there was a fi'ah, a group which was believing, and there was a fi'ah or a group which was disbelieving. But if you look at it, it looks like the non-disbelievers were double. Actually, the ratio was 3-1. But if you look at it, it looks like the numbers of the the disbelievers is double the size of the Muslim. Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يُؤَيِّدُ بِنَصْرِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives helps with his nasr and his help and his victory to whomever he wills. And in Badr, it was the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were sent, revealed to help. So those are two forms and the other ways which we cannot contemplate how, you know, Allah helps us. But all of this, the source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Kamal, every year our dua gets longer. Every year a new country is added to the list of oppressed and persecuted Muslims. Al-Quds, Palestine, has been under occupation now for 75 years. We've got not a single continent in the world you could imagine does not have a Muslim that's been persecuted. You know, we are in a very parlous, a very poor state in the world. And I suppose then the question comes, is the withholding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory, is that because we're bad Muslims? We don't have the prerequisite iman for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that victory?
Okay. First of all, when we look at the ummah, it would not be proper or right for us to put down the ummah and look at the ummah in a very negative way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the one who says the people are ruined, he is the most ruined, actually. So we always have husnul dhan, not only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also in our ummah. So we don't have a negative attitude towards the ummah that it's all the ummah's fault. However, at the same time, we do have to look at, our situation and, what is holding us back. And that's in a positive way. which is to see, well, what are these problems that we are facing? You know, and what could we be doing? You know, what is our responsibility? We are not responsible for things that are outside our control. But what is in our control? We are responsible. That's why, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again, this is another ayah sometimes used. He says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. That whatever musibah falls on you, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, this is a result of your own two hands. And Allah forgives much. That if Allah did not forgive, then you'd be finished. Again, this ayah is not telling us that the ummah is completely ruined. The point is, well, what is our two hands doing? If, for example, the rulers are oppressing the Muslims, the rulers are, you know, betraying our causes, are we remaining silent and just making dua? Is that our condition? If that's the case, then we can't expect change. So if we want to bring change, there is a means and method that the Quran and Sunnah has given us. For example, on this question, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهُوَنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That's, you must enjoin the good and forbid the evil. You know, you must restrain the hand of the ruler. Because if you don't do that, you know, you will make dua, لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. And your dua will not be answered. So the way, I think there's a balance that we need to look at, you know, what are the issues? What are the things that are holding us back? What are our duties and our responsibilities? And we have that conversation, then we can go forward and look at this issue in a positive and constructive way, inshallah.
You said earlier on that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and victory has a number of conditions. Mm. Can you spell out what are these conditions that qualify the ummah to achieve Allah's victory?
Of course. The first and foremost condition is iman. In many verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That, you know, do not grieve, do not be upset. You will be uppermost and victorious if إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you have iman. So that's the first condition, that we must have iman. Second condition is that we must have amalun salih. In another verse in Surah Nur, Allah says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That Allah has promised that He will give istikhlaf and authority to those who believe and do good deeds. So second thing is that we have to abide by Sharia, we have to fulfill our responsibilities and in good deed. In fact, that ayah mentioned يَعْبُدُونَنِي, and they worship me and did not commit shirk. So you can add those as well. And the fifth condition is that we need to have preparation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ. That you should prepare of strength and power. If you're facing another power, then you can't say, you know, well, I have iman and I pray and I fast and I, you know, I don't do shirk, I do good deeds. But then you have come to the battle, whether it's physical or intellectual, without any preparation, because that's required. We discussed the example of Badr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he didn't have much. He was overpowered or outnumbered in every way, but you know, he prepared the Sahaba. And then after preparing the Sahaba and bringing to Badr, he made dua and he said, oh Allah, this is all I have. You know, if you don't give madad and you know, victory tomorrow, there will be no one to worship you. So he prepared and he had iman. So we have to, you know, the two go hand in hand.
There are some people, and usually you find them on social media, and they argue that the reason why we are under constant attack is because we are being punished as an ummah. And they go further and say the reason why Palestine is in a dire state is because there is a deficiency. And I know you've addressed this before, but just to tackle this point, can we say that the reason why victory has been withheld or we're under such repression, it's because we're being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
You see, first of all, even if you meet the conditions of Nasr and tamkeen and victory and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know when Allah will provide that.
So even if you are...
So perfect, Allah will definitely... This is it. Allah right. subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide the help.
Right.
But as to when He provides in His hikmah and His wisdom, that's something you can't decide. So you may lose a battle. So when, for example, in Battle of Uhud, ostensibly, that's a battle that we did not win.
Yes.
As opposed to the example of Badr. However, does that mean the Sahaba were weak in their iman? No. Again, a believer will assess strategically what went wrong. Okay, the marksmen, you know, those who were supposed to stand, what did they do? Did they stand, hold the line or not? So you consider those things. However, ultimately, it's not because they Sahaba lacked iman.
They weren't punished.
Yes, it wasn't a punishment. In fact, Allah may have a hikmah for why He puts us in a distressing situation. So the example of Hudaybiyah, the Hudaybiyah treaty, you know, Umar ibn Khattab, you know, and the Sahaba were so upset actually because the terms of the Hudaybiyah treaty was so onerous actually against the Ummah. Against the Muslims.
Yes.
You know, but the Prophet said, Inni Abdullah lan ukhalifa amra. I am a servant of Allah and I will not disobey His command. So that's on. So you may lose a battle, but the war, we have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory, and the victory is near and help is always at hand. This is our aqidah and this is our belief. As to whether in a particular predicament or situation, whether it comes or not, the hikmah for that we don't know. And if it doesn't arise, does not mean that Allah does not help us. And if it doesn't arise, does not mean even Allah hasn't given victory. Maybe it's a victory that we have not perceived. So Hudaybiyah is the example. فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. It's such a clear victory, but no one saw it. But only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw it. That's on one hand. On the other hand, Allah tests the believers because they have iman. Because they have iman.
Right.
Did Ibrahim alayhi salam lack iman? When Allah said, وَإِذِبْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. And when Allah, He tested Ibrahim and فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, and He completed all His tests, subhanAllah. Because the ibtila here, the test is not because we don't have iman or Allah does not love us. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. In fact, the hadith says, Rasulullah said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهَ خَيْرًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a khair from a person, yusibhu, He will give him a musibah. SubhanAllah. You see, if you think about it, from a secular perspective, it's madness, it doesn't make sense. But as a believer, it makes complete and utter sense. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He controls everything that happens. And He has a plan. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. He has a plan and everything has a measure. And where things fit, we don't know. So something may look like a disaster, but it's actually a victory. Something may affect us, but actually that is a way to actually purify us. And in a number of times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He says, Allah will purify the believer. He will test him. Why? To see actually who is pure, and to forgive his sins even. In fact, the وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and destroy the disbelievers. The Mufassirin said here, it could mean that someone who has sinned, this is a means for the forgiveness of his sins. Other, Mufassirin, they said it could be a means to raise his status. Whereas from a different perspective, that doesn't make sense. You know, so I'm being tested to raise my status? Yes, of course. Because you will exhibit your iman. And you manifest your iman, and that will raise your status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why it's really unfortunate that we see some people actually, you know, erroneously saying, looking at our brothers and sisters in Palestine and saying, they don't have enough iman or they haven't fulfilled their conditions. SubhanAllah, Allah tests those whom He loves. And they are an example for us, actually. In fact, they increase our iman.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk,
Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
They increase our iman. You know, they are an iman booster. Those who are in sleep, they're coming out of their slumber when they see the father who just lost two of his sons, consoling others and telling them that are we not shuhada? Will not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us with Jannah? You know, so when you see that, subhanAllah, you know, you realize, you know, who has tasted the halawa of iman, the sweetness of iman.
Kamal, it's interesting that every time I see an occasion where someone in Gaza, a man or a woman or a child, loses someone close to them, they have nothing but good to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. They speak about Allah in, as you said, in terms which show, which exhibit a very strong sense of being believers. Yet it's often people outside of that environment who question, who have doubts. What is going on here? How comes we in the West, for example, are inflicted with this intellectual disease, yet those in the epicenter of the oppression, they're steadfast and strong?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Alif lam mim, ahasiba an-nas an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. That do people think that we will leave them to say we believe and we will not test them? The iman actually is not exhibited when things are easy and when you're not tested. In fact, it's probably a bigger struggle with your iman, where there is no test, where things are comfortable.
An easy life.
But where the test comes, this is when actually, you know, the iman shines. In fact, the very next ayah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Indeed, we tested them. And you know the word it uses, fatana. Fatana. You know, the word fatana, test, is, you know, if you look at the etymology of it, it's used for when you separate gold and silver from its ore. Gold doesn't come in the form that we see in bracelets. It comes in an ore. And that has to be separated. And the way it's separated is that it's burnt in fire. And you, so they say fatana, they use the word fatana, yeah, to say that, you know, the dhahab and the fidda, the gold and the silver is burnt so that it is, is separated from the ore. That's the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. That in the West, where things are comfortable, there's a lot of ore we have. Or wherever you are, you can gain this other things, where there's there needs to be some purification of this. And it is actually through that test. When the test happens, then you find, Allah Ta'ala will know who are those who were truthful and those who were untruthful. So I think this is a situation that, you know, is to face the test, with the guidance from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. See, in the West, we also have tests.
Right. Is Gaza a test for us?
Of course. It's only a test if we engage with it. If it's not a test, if we sit at home and we just watch TV 24/7, it's not a test. But if you have to get up and say something, if you have to get up and do something, whether it's by a tweet or a post or speaking or saying or participating in an event or going to a march, then you start to worry, well, you know, what are the implications of this? That's how you increase iman. Mm-hmm. Iman is not increased by sitting in one's couch. Iman is increased actually by getting up and engaging with the issues. And when you engage with the issues, you are tested. Mm-hmm. This is where, that's the furnace. And that's where the burning is taking place. And that's where the purification is taking place. It's only when you engage with that, then do you find that your iman shines and your iman, in fact, strengthens. And you find that your iman increases as a result of that. Mm-hmm. So there has to be an action or engagement of the of issues in order for the iman to increase.
There is a feeling that we can never do enough. Some people can only send a tweet. Some people can join a protest. Some people can give lectures.
Yeah.
Some people may not be able to do very much more than that. There may be someone who's very old, elderly, or someone who doesn't have many contacts with people. How does one address that natural inability that exists within our environment? Does that factor into this discussion about seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and,
yes.
and his...
Yeah. We will be questioned according to and the extent to which we have the ability to engage
right.
and contribute.
Right.
Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ittaqullaha mastata'tum. You should fear Allah as much as you can.
Mm.
Yeah. So there is a question of istita'a and ability. Something which is beyond your ability, you'll not be asked. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. That Allah will not put a burden on you that you cannot bear. However, there are many things within our purview that is, within our ability that we can engage.
Mm.
It's just the issue of having a mentality of engagement and saying, well, what can I do?
Mm.
And people have different strengths and weaknesses. And that's a human thing.
Yeah.
You had Hamza radiallahu anhu. You had Ali radiallahu anhu, Asadullah. Yeah. You had Khalid ibn Walid, Saifullah. They had certain strengths. And then you have Hassan ibn Thabit, who was the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his strength was not in the battlefield. His strength was poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he deployed that strength and that, he had. And Rasulullah recognized that this is what he has to give and contribute. So he said, Hassan, lampoon the Quraysh with your poetry and then with his abiyat and his couplets. Yeah. So we will have our strengths and weaknesses. We just need to see, well, what do I have to give? And where can I be of use? And we just need to have that mentality. And if you have that, fatawakkal ala Allah. Have tawakkal on Allah and Allah will help you.
Kamal, we're used to saying that out of every adversity, some good will come out of it. Is that an Islamic idea that for everything that befalls us, ultimately some khair, some good will come?
Yeah. So, whatever happens, happens because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed it. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ That you cannot will except as Allah wills. Nothing can happen without His decree and His will. So, now when things happen, we don't know, because we don't have knowledge of the ghaib, that how that fits into Allah's plan.
Right.
Allah tells us, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ And they plot and they plan, the disbelievers. But Allah is the best of those who plans. وَمَكْرُ أُولَٰئِكَ يَبُورُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their makr and their, deceiving and their plotting will perish, will be to no avail. However, in reality, when we try and analyze this, we don't know, is this khair or is this a shar? Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I give you one example. When one of the sahaba, he was actually kidnapped by the Quraysh.
Mm.
And his parents were so upset that, he's been taken. What can we do? Oh no, this is a disastrous situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجَعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا The one who has taqwa of Allah, Allah will give him a makhraj, a way out. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ And Allah will give him a provision for where he never imagined. That Allah will baligh amr in Allah. Allah will fulfill his amr in this matter. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا For everything he has set a measure and a plan. So you see, that incident happened. And that was a disaster. Prima facie, when you look at it on the surface, that this is a disaster. But what happened? Subhanallah, that Sahaba escaped. And he took that booty and he came back, not only with himself, but with all this provision for his parents. وَيَرْزِقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah gives the rest whom we never imagined. So yes, so there are things that we think, asa أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That you may hate something, but it's actually good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ That you may hate something, وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But it's actually good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That he knows and you do not know. And so that's the belief perspective by which we look at, misfortune, whether good or bad. That only Allah knows the khair and shar of these things.
What would you say to a person who sees what's happening in Gaza? We're speaking 2 weeks after the events on a Saturday, and they feel somewhat deflated and dejected by the situation. How would you address such a person?
First of all, to feel this, it is a human thing. And we can feel this. We can feel depressed and down. And the Sahaba felt depressed and down, as I said before. But, when we now reflect on our responsibility and reflect on the guidance given by Quran and Sunnah, we'll find actually we'll spring back. We'll dust ourselves off. We pick ourselves up. And in fact, we find our iman will renew. And this will only happen when, we engage with whatever the issue may be. But we make Quran a companion in this journey. If you look at the Sahaba alayhim ajma'in, and the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever hardships that they went through, Quran was there with them in every incident. Where they're on a journey, an ayah would be revealed. In a battle, ayah would be revealed. When Rasulullah is sleeping, an ayah will be revealed. When he's awake, an ayah will be revealed. So the ayat are coming to actually guide that individual with that adversity or that calamity. And, and the Quran is full of examples. And I'll just give one example, of Musa alayhi salam. Why is the example of Musa alayhi salam, oft mentioned in the Quran? Allah himself, he says in Surah Qasas, نَتْلُ عَلَيْكَ بِنَّبَئِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ, that we tell you the story of Musa and Fir'aun. Why? لِقَوْمِ يُكِنُونَ, for a people who have belief. It's to increase your iman. Who needed the increase of the iman? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions who were facing Quraysh against all the odds. They needed that. So the example of Musa alayhi salam was one individual against Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this example. And if you read that story, these are not just stories. They actually increase your iman and make you understand the world around you. So there is an intellectual illuminating aspect to these stories. And not only that, they actually tell you how to interact and engage with the situation and increase your iman. So Musa alayhi salam, so many parallels with, what is happening now and Musa alayhi salam's story. But only thing is, it's flipped. So Musa alayhi salam is from Bani Israel. And his people were subjugated by Fir'aun, who was arrogant, felt he had, he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ مَنْ أَشَدُّ قُوَّةً. He said, who has more power than me? And he said, I am your Lord. This was Fir'aun. When he sensed that someone will end his hegemony, so he ordered that all the babies should be killed. Because even the babies are a threat. If I were to analogize, these are the babies of darkness that he needed to destroy. And so he sent out an order. And Musa alayhi salam's mother is now worried. But look, subhanAllah, that he tells his mother to put him in a tabut, in a basket and let him off. And Allah said, my enemy will find him. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Musa alayhi salam. The baby that Fir'aun wanted to kill, Allah raised that in the house of the enemy. Not only that, his mother you know, who was feeling sad for not seeing her son, you know, because the Musa would not take any milk from anyone else. So Pharaoh said, find someone. So they went, you know, hal adullukum man yakfulu, is there someone who can actually look after him? And of course, who was it? It was his mother. So Allah SWT said, فَرَجَعْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ O Musa, I return you to your mother. Subhanallah. So in the house of the enemy, Allah SWT raised Musa alayhi salam and looked after by his own mother. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Musa alayhi salam, he grew up in that household. Long story, as you know. But then when Allah, you know, he was given nubuwa and Allah said, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ. That he went to Fir'aun. And Fir'aun, when he saw that, he said, kill all the sons. Kill all the sons and leave the daughters. That was his response. And he challenged Musa. He said, look, you know, أَوَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ وَلِيدَ. Did I not raise you in my household and now you come opposing me? And did you not do to put him down and put him on the back foot? He said, did you not do that thing? فَعَلْتَ فَعْلَكَ referring to that incident where he accidentally killed someone. So this is where Musa alayhi salam, you know, he turns around. Just like today, you see the parallels that, oh, somebody did X, Y, Z. So therefore, the whole ummah, all the Palestinians are animals. Mm. They dehumanize. You know, their life has no sanctity. Mm. So Musa alayhi salam responded to this confidently. He said, yes, you are referring to me, your act of kindness. But look, you know, the fact is that you abatta bani Israel, that you enslaved the whole people. Mm. When Fir'aun realized, you know what, this is not working with Musa, he said, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى وَلْيَدْعُ رَبَّهُ. He said, you know, ذَرُونِي, let go of me. As if anyone was holding him. You know, which indicates that even though he thought he was powerful, he was also scared of Musa. Mm. Subhanallah. Because, you know, the Mufassirin said, you know, he said, ذَرُونِي, let me go, let me. But no one's holding on to him. So what is all this? Let me go and I'll kill him. Yeah? That he actually feared Musa alayhi salam. Why? He said, "Inni ara." He said, "Zaruni aqtul Musa waliyadu Rabba. Inni akhafu an yubaddila dinakum aw an yuzhira fil ardi al fasad." That let him call his Lord, because he is trying to change your deen, and he will cause mischief and corruption. So these are all the labels now hurled at Musa alayhi salam. Mm. So this is a terrorist. This is a, you know, someone to be shunned. You know, and to be not listened to, and to be completely boycotted. Mm. You know, so Musa alayhi salam faced this, and you can see all this situation. You know, there was a believing man who watched all this. Mm. When he heard Fir'aun say that I'm going to kill Musa, Allah SWT said, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ. So there was a believing man in the court of Fir'aun who hid his iman. But when he heard this, he couldn't hide his iman anymore. This is in the court of Fir'aun. And he said, Ataqtuluna. So he raised his voice. And he said, are you going to kill a man, an innocent man, just because he says his Lord is Allah? Now, who is the Musa and who is the believing man? You know, so there in our ummah, there are those who are the Musas. But we need today also the believing man who watched this oppression going on and stands up and says, are you going to kill someone just because they say his Lord is Allah? So many parallels. So if you reflect on these are the verses that nourished the Sahaba. These are the verses that actually gave comfort and solace to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our struggle. And these are the verses and the examples that will also give us support and help us to understand how things are, why the way things are, and how should we engage, interact, and motivate us, inshallah.
Finally, Kamal, when I watch the TV screens, when I see on social media, the way in which the Palestinians, the people of Gaza, face their tests, they face it with their chests.
Yeah.
You know, you see a mother who's lost everything, a father who's lost everything. Yet, as you said previously in the interview, they remind people around them that they, those who have gone are shuhada and they're alive in Allah's eyes, and they will meet them again in Jannah. And you see this so often.
Yes.
Everyone actually who faces these calamities are responding in, with such strong iman. How do we train ourselves to exhibit that level of iman that we see in our brothers and sisters in Palestine?
The thing is, if we sit at home waiting for iman to descend on us, it's not going to happen. It only happens when you jump into the array, into the intellectual, the narrative war, propaganda, whatever the situation it is in terms of whatever our abilities are.
Yeah.
So when you engage with that, when you engage with that, this is when the iman will increase. SubhanAllah, the very fact that we see others engaging increases our iman. The seeing our brothers and sisters, you know, smile, mothers smiling when they lost a child, SubhanAllah. Fathers, you know, consoling others, even though they're the ones who lost. They actually should be grieving, and they are the ones who are consoling the others, the onlookers, and saying that we are shuhada, saying alhamdulillah, making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see others engaging in the struggle, actually increases our iman. So what we need to do is we need to plunge in and see, well, how can I be a cog in that wheel? See, sometimes we can think, well, what can I do? Maybe I'm good at social media. Some people can give talks. Some people can write an article or discuss with others, you know, but I can't, you know, I can't do these big things. No, that, you know, you do what is in your ability, in your qudra, you know. And so this cog, if you think about this Islam, the cause of Islam moving, and there's cogs which actually wind it. So we're all actually cogs, whether you're small or large. Even if it's small, it's necessary for the thing to keep moving. So if we see in that perspective and we actually start engaging and doing whatever is within our ability, you know, whether it's that tweet, whether it's, you know, a posting on social media, whether it's giving a speech, whether it's going to a march, whether it's giving sadaqah, whether it's engaging with other intellectuals or politicians or thinkers or writing an article, in whatever the nature of the battlefield may be, if we plunge in, then you will find actually the iman will increase. Because that's how, as I said before, you know, the ayah that I quoted is وَلَقَدَ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tested those who came before. And the fatana is the burning process that purifies us. That can only happen when we start actually engaging. So if we want to increase iman, then we need action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. The good word raises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilayhi, it goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what it really, you know, raises that is wal amalu salih, is the good deed. So if we engage with what we say, with what we do, and engage in that battle and that struggle, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. And this is when you will need the story. If you sit in your home, you don't need the story of Musa alayhi salam. If you do nothing, you will not need the story of the Anbiya and the Rusul. But if you engage with all your taqa and your ability, this is when you will, Quran will become your companion. The stories will come to life and they will have meaning for you, and they will increase your iman, and you will fulfill the wa'ad and the promise that you had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهُدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And there are men who were true to the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those who have passed away in this path, and those who are waiting, but they never change.
Dr. Kamal Abu Zahra, jazakallah khair. Thank you very much for your time today.
Please remember to subscribe to our social media and YouTube channels and head over to our website thinkingmuslim.com to sign up to my weekly newsletter. Jazakallah khair.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.